Now, let me explain that. I hit the wrong button. I decided to pause the podcast because I wanted to gather my thinking. And so I hit the pause button. And then I hit the done button by accident. And then that starts a new podcast. So I've yet to decide what I'm going to do about that. It's possible I'll just release the two of these as separate episodes. It's also possible that I'll merge the two. I don't like editing these things. It just feels like, I don't know, that I shouldn't be editing them. So I'm probably going to change my mind about that. But in the meantime, I don't know. Excuse me. I believe that I had what you call a senior moment there. I know that my voice, and people have told me my voice sounds young and they have a hard time believing how old I am. And I consider that a compliment, and I like that. Everybody who gets to a certain age, and that age might not even be as big as you think it is, wishes that they would just stop growing old. It's not so much that I mind being the age that I am right now. It's that I know that next year I'll be another year older, and the next, and I understand that this thing we call life, it ends. And I'm not yet at the point where every year I live is a completely gifted year, you know, but I'm getting close to that. You know how somebody is 116 years and they're old and their life expectancy, if you like do the arithmetic, their life expectancy is zero. The probability is that they will die in the next instant. If it were possible to have a negative life expectancy, they would have a negative life expectancy, but it's not possible. So anyway, here we were, that the decision that was overturning Roe v. Wade had leaked and yet had not been announced. And so the interest in this was super high. And I thought, what? And I just read this book. And my feeling was, this was a moment that will never come along again. And here's the guy who has the glue, the super glue, that will tie all this together. It's like everybody's focused, everybody's interested. What they need to know is, this is slavery. And it's, if they're confused about why it feels so bad, that is why it feels so bad. And for men who really, I'm sorry, but we do not and cannot understand we can learn about it, but we can't really understand what it is like to be pregnant, and therefore can't understand what it's like to be forced to be pregnant. But there it was. He didn't do it. It wasn't like he thinks that way. I think like an entrepreneur. I think like a media hacker. I think like somebody who looks for opportunities to get really big things done and doesn't want to waste the opportunity. It's the way I feel right now about the pause between Twitter's decline. Although I really am not entirely sure that Twitter has declined. This is why it makes it. First of all, one of the things Jarvis said yesterday, and it was so rapid fire, I couldn't get in there that I agreed with him on this one totally, is that I call it Twitter, and I'm sorry, I'm never going to call it anything else. This whole idea, X, no. Absolutely not. For very good reason is that the person who owns the servers and owns the company and is also the spokesmodel for the whole thing, he only is one third of the whole thing that is Twitter. I made a list one day of all the things Facebook was, because people use the word Facebook as if it were synonymous with Zuckerberg. But there are so many things that Facebook is that have absolutely nothing to do with Zuckerberg. And I wanted to at least have an answer for these people, is that please do not call when we're talking about the people who use Facebook, don't don't think of that. Well, you're not giving that any credit for being Facebook when you equate Facebook and Zuckerberg. We don't stop and think, well, what will Zuckerberg have to say about this? Because we have no idea. Zuckerberg is a very vague individual, as is Elon Musk. We don't know very much about Elon Musk, and frankly, I don't give a shit. I don't care about Elon Musk. I've already been inoculated against the idea of tech heroes. I was born the same year as Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, to give you a rough idea of what my generation is. And I never thought of them as heroes. I thought of them as really interesting, very successful, very rich people who had a lot of power in my industry and also did a lot of damage to my industry. Both of them did. I know Steve Jobs doesn't have the reputation for that, but he did. He also created a lot of things, and as did Gates. You know, if you look at my list of the things that Facebook is, you'd see that both Jobs and Gates get a lot of credit for a lot of the things they built. But I don't think of them as infallible. I don't think of them as godlike. I think of them as people. And I think that of Elon Musk, too. And I think that the assumption that they somehow change in some material way because of their success and their money, well, like I've said this before, I don't buy into that so much, that there are all different levels of humanity. I just think that we're pretty much cut from the same cloth, all of us. Every fucking one of us are running the same program with minor variations. And no, he's not much greater, and he's not going to live any longer than the rest of us do. And he has all the same frailties, and the rest of us, believe me, we do not have the frailties he has. There's something very special about somebody who feels he needs to... Never mind. I go down this, it's a dead end, it goes nowhere, it's cool, whatever, it's an alleyway, there's nothing interesting in that alley. So, what about the moment we're in? Actually, none of this has anything to do with the reason I picked up the phone to talk to you today. I want to go back to a moment. I will try to find this piece in my archive of scripting.com. I was very angry with President Barack Obama when it was made clear that by Mitch McConnell in the Senate that they would not take up the nomination of Merrick Garland and they would wait until there was a new president in the White House. And Obama accepted this. And I won't ever forgive him for doing that. I think that was our moment of truth. That was our moment to say, enough is enough. So, what did I say at that time? I'm going to try to paraphrase it. That there is nothing in the Constitution that says what you do when the Senate refuses to consider a nominee for the Supreme Court. Now, you could say that Obama should go to the Supreme Court to make this decision, but that isn't how it works. This is about the Supreme Court. And one of the conventions, which is good in our checks and balances system, is that each of the other branches defines the third branch. There are three branches. The Senate, the Congress is defined by the law, whatever. They're all defined by the Constitution up to a point, in which point the other branches do the defining. So you don't, you know, the mechanism of adding a justice to the Supreme Court is they're nominated by the executive and they're ratified by the Senate, and then they become the part of the Supreme Court, which judges the constitutionality of laws that are passed by Congress and signed by the president. It's like, and they decide about whether or not the president is being constitutional and how they interpret the laws passed by Congress. So it really isn't the kind of thing that you go to the Supreme Court and say, well, please give us a decision on this. And the ball was dropped in Obama's lap, and it wasn't that he was without options. He had options. And this is what I wanted him to do at the time. And he had plenty of time to do it. It wasn't like an instant decision had to be made. He had like 8 months to do this. So what he could have said was, this is what he could have said. He could have gotten up and given a speech and said, look, what the Senate is doing is wrong. The way our system is designed, the president nominates, the Senate advises and consents, and then you've got a justice. There's no reason the Senate, the Senate refuses to do the hearings. I don't know if the hearings are in the Constitution. They probably aren't. But they refuse to do the vote. So we did some research, and we found that in the laws, basically the way these things are interpreted, you give somebody a reasonable amount of time to object. And if they don't object, then you assume that they consent. So I'm going to give the Senate 90 days to consider this nomination. And if they don't respond, if they don't hold their hearings and have a vote, then I'm going to assume they consent. So now we fast forward 90 days later. Maybe, I don't know. So maybe you don't even wait the 90 days. Who knows? But I envision the scene where Merrick Garland and Barack Obama go into the back of one of the limousines, and they have a little motorcade that goes from the White House to the Supreme Court building. And then with protection from the Secret Service, and it's probably enough protection, Barack Obama marches with Merrick Garland to the door of the Supreme Court, and they knock on the door. They let him in. If they don't let him in, they open the door. You think the President of the United States can't open that door? Yeah, he can. And you show Garland his office. You put a little sign on the door. It says, Justice Merrick Garland. And you say, good, now we've got this taken care of. We can move on. And that sends a message to, and this is what, this is what I want my president to do. I voted for Obama. I supported Obama. I was enthusiastic about Obama. I was grateful for Obama. I was delighted that Obama was our president. I was horrified that he let them do this to us. Think about it this way. Had Merrick Garland taken the seat, the court would at worst now be 5-4. And we know that 5-4, they would probably not have been able to pass a lot of the things they've passed right now with a 5-4 that they can with a 6-3. 5-4 is normal. 6-3 is not normal. It's why we're in so much trouble. And I'll find the piece. I think it was in real time. I think we had already waited a certain period of time, and it was clear they weren't going to do it. So who knows? But that was the idea. So now we're in 2024, and we have now seen how that played out and how if we had done something at that point, we might have headed off the situation we're in now where we're losing our rights at an increasing pace. I mean, it was bad enough that they undid Roe v. Wade, but now they've said basically there is no limit on presidential power, and we've got the guy queued up who doesn't believe in limits on presidential power. I mean, one thing would be is like we take off the limits, but we've never yet seen a president who was the guy who would take advantage of that. So we go, well, it's all theoretical, and who really cares? Because presidents don't do shit like that, but that's not the case. We've got a president who does do shit like this. And, he's not a president again, but he could be. It's time to do something here. and to stop being, excuse the expression, such pussies, letting them push us around the way they do, we are now the last hope of the United States of America. Let's be clear about that. We pass over this marker without doing anything about it, and we are no longer, we might call ourselves the United States of America, but we are not the United States of America. Well, I may have gotten a flawed education in the New York education system, but they didn't leave this part out, is that we have very strong beliefs about individual rights and about the rule of law. They give you the good news. They don't so much tell you the bad news, but that's the good news. But that's not no longer the United States. There aren't any limits on what he can do, and I don't think the MAGAs have any great love for Jews, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we will end up in the concentration camps, and they will bring in the ovens, and they will celebrate that. Everybody will talk about, you know, how great it is we're finally getting rid of the Jews. It won't be very long before the blacks are slaves again, and they'll take away the woman's vote for sure. And they're going back to before. And here's the really crazy part about this, is that I think that it's very likely that all of this is just a smokescreen. Because I'll tell you what they really want. What they really want to do is they want to privatize all the functions of the U.S. government. And in the process of privatizing, they're just going to suck the money out of them. It's like, you know, eating a lobster or something, you know. What's left is a shell that doesn't work. It isn't alive. And all the good stuff has been taken out and digested and it's gone somewhere else. A lot of it will go to Putin because this is the person who's behind this. Absolutely for sure. The whole thing, the smokescreen, the dazzling thing, the thing they dazzle you with to distract you is all the mishigas that Trump does. They don't care about Trump. Trump is there because he's a TV actor and he's good at learning his lines. And he says things that he knows will get you all pissed off and scared. And you'll be scared about the wrong thing. Meanwhile, you'll wake up one day and you'll learn how much living in a rich society was actually serving as a cushion for many of us, if not all of us. We will find out what real poverty is. We will remember what it was like to live in a great company, excuse me, in a great country. And we will learn that we have been completely sucked dry. And we don't live in a great country, and we haven't apparently for quite some time. You know, Chief Justice Roberts was ratified in, I think, 2008, 2009, 2007, somewhere in there. That's getting close to 20 years ago. He's been there for a long time. Clarence Thomas has been there even longer. He was Bush 1 nominee. He's been there even longer. They were prepared to do this as going back as far as 30 years ago. They were preparing to actually do it. Now they've actually done it. So today's post. Well, first of all, I'm doing my long-winded thing here. Okay. I don't know if I could do an outline of this thing before I do it, you know, before I get up and record this. And it's like a high wire act. It's like walking a tightrope because I could fall off at any minute and completely forget what I came here to talk about. I could. Maybe I should. Maybe at some point I'll have to. I don't do outlines. This is funny for a guy who loves outliners. I use outliners for everything. But I don't outline these. So, I'm going to close up now. So the thing to do right now, if you're interested, is to go listen to today's Countdown podcast. You know, it's Keith Olbermann, and he's, I would say about one third of his podcasts are fantastic, and two thirds of them really suck. And I've decided that the difference is the ones that he writes versus the one that somebody else writes for him. He has to write it. And he is a phenomenal comedian. He's one of the best I've ever heard. He certainly had enough practice, and I laugh out loud through the whole thing, as long as he wrote it. If it's one of the ones he didn't write, it's like, what? What was that? That was really, come on, that was stupid. But the thing is that he's really got a clever mind, and he, like Elie Mystal, is very good at expressing himself verbally. And I was cheering out loud. I was listening to it in the car this morning. And I was screaming out loud, yes, exactly. Let's do it. It'll be great. And what he did was he outlined basically the post that I had written. Not that he stole it from me or anything, because he wrote his before I wrote mine. Because his thing had been in production for, I don't know, 20 hours probably. Here's what my post said. It said, I understand why the Dems don't want to be the first to use the new rule passed by the Supreme Court. Wait, hold on, I need to edit that. But I think they should consider, and now they're followed a bulleted list with numbers. First, arrest the members of the Supreme Court who just voted for the new rule about presidential immunity. Nominate six replacements. Sorry, no Republicans this time. Number three, the Senate ratifies them. Number four, once they're installed, they hold an emergency session to restore Roe v. Wade and to undo all the other crazy BS they did, and then revoke the new rule and reassert the rule of law that, and now I'm going to, I have to do this, I have to make, a, it says, that especially applies to the president. Let's see, one, two, three, four. Number five. I don't know what they do with the ones they arrested, but frankly, I don't care. Leave them in jail until they figure it out. Yes, these people belong in jail. I'm sorry. And don't forget, the president can't be held accountable for the things he does that are official acts. Putting them in jail, that sounds like an official act to me. And it's about time Trump was arrested. And I don't think you need to be protected by this, by the way. I don't think you need to be excused from being responsible for this, because I think this is a proper function of the executive branch. That it's about time for Trump, that it's about time Trump was arrested and held without bail, so he can't do any more damage to the United States while awaiting trial. It's time to stop making an exception for this guy. You know, if the United States were attacked in an act of war, would we respond? Would we wait to respond? Would we wait years to respond? No. This is a war, and this is a much more threatening war because it's got us so confused that we don't recognize it as being such. Well, at this point, there's no doubt at all that we end. Remember I said this before. This is the end of the United States. There's no more United States after this is done. Actually, right now, technically at this moment, there's no more United States. Rule of law does not apply to the president. Both Olbermann and I know that it's a really fraught question, because now they'll say, well, you know, Trump, if he were elected, never would have done the kind of stuff that Biden did. Of course he would. Jeez, it doesn't matter. Let them say what they say. They're going to say it anyway, right? Point is that I don't know what answer they could possibly have to putting all the six into jail right now and replacing them. I don't know what they... And I, by the way, I mean, you will hear all kinds of fantastic ideas from Mystal in the book about what to do about the court. I'll just give you a little spoiler here. One of them is he wants 100 members of the Supreme Court, and that they should be chosen at random to hear each case. And that way no one of them has enough power to redirect the United States, become themselves, to become monarchs. Because what became clear in this term is that they fully expect to be sharing power with somebody. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they're just employees. It's possible. Maybe likely. But anyway, I feel good about this. It may be two podcasts. Sorry about that. But I'm really enjoying this new format. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.